Hey everyone, it's Marielle. And before we get to the show, I want to warn you. What you are about to hear contains explicit language, adult themes, and may not be suitable for all listeners. Discretion is strongly advised. Enjoy the show.
Blah, 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 beep, blah, blah. There it is.
Hello.
We're kicking it old school, going one mic this time because technology hates us.
We've never been this close in our life.
I don't even, I'm just looking at the levels now. I don't even think I was talking that much.
Hello, this is the Women of Death Row. I have a story that is going to be sort of seasonal in regards to Halloween and spookiness. I'm going to tell you the story of Dame Alice Keitealer, who was a witch. She wasn't a witch. She was just a woman in the early 1300s. So in the year 1324, the bishop of... Okay, so this takes place in Ireland. So I'm sorry, Irish folks. I'm going to pronounce these like a goddamn American. So the bishop of Ossory, Richard Ledreed, made a declaration that his diocese was filled with devil worshippers. Alice Keitealer was the main culprit in this business, a wealthy lady who was indicted of witchcraft. Her trial was the first ever to indict a woman of acquiring the power of witchcraft through having intercourse with a demon. The Keitealer family was made of Flemish traders who settled in Kilkenny sometime during the mid-13th century. Is there something you wanted to say into the one mic?
Yeah, I just was thinking about the scene on Emily Rose where that just brought me back to that scene. I don't want to describe it because it's scary. So anyway.
I listened to a podcast that's based on, or that was telling the story of the woman who's that was based on. I think it was in Italy. Okay, so in the year 1263, Dame Alice Keitealer was born to wealthy Norman parents.
I think it's supposed to be Mormon. But Norman could have
been a thing in 1263. Who fucking knows? So it's, yeah, because Mormonism didn't exist then. Norman parents. But I wrote this a while ago. So that could have been like an autocorrect.
Also, I learned about a religion yesterday that I had no idea about. I'm not going to speak on it because it's like Christian universalism or something like that. And within this religion, like it started back like in 1760s. So like
OG US days. So it like they have arranged marriages and shit in it.
So Christianity.
Exactly.
Uncut. Christianity uncut. Director's cut. So in the year 1280, she was first married to a wealthy merchant and moneylender in Kilkenny, William Outlaw. And they had a son who they also named William, who subsequently became her main business partner. Within a few years of their marriage, her husband fell ill and died suddenly. In 1302, shortly after the passing of her first husband, she got married again to Adam de Bond of Colon, who was also a moneylender. In the year 1307, Adam de Boulogne handed over all his wealth to his stepson, William Outlaw, and canceled all the debts that William owed him. He also had children of his own. Adam suddenly died under mysterious circumstances, and by this time, Alice had become substantially wealthier. In 1309, Alice married a wealthy Tipperary landowner who was her third husband, Richard Duval. And yet again, her son, William Outlaw, benefited from the marriage. In 1316, Richard died, also in mysterious circumstances. Alice took legal action against her stepson and also called Richard for withholding her dowry. I was like, is that? In 1324, when she was accused of witchcraft, Alice had already gotten married the fourth time to Sir Jean Lepore, who was a knight. Alice Keitealer's fourth husband was the one who unknowingly began a chain of events that led to her conviction on charges of witchcraft. He became ill, and shortly before his death, he changed his will in favor of Alice's son, William. His relatives were angered and claimed that Alice had bewitched him, forcing him to change his will. A court of inquisition was convened by his lordship to hear the case. So there were 7 charges against Alice and her associates. 1 charge, they denied Christ in the church. 2, they slaughtered animals and spread the pieces across roads as sacrifices to a demon known as the Son of Art so that he could help them. Whoa. 3, that they stole keys to the church and had meetings there in the night. 4, that they had placed a chicken's internal organs, dead bodies, nails, worms, butt hairs, and clothes from boys who had...
Wait a second.
Specifically butt hairs?
That's what it says.
would they know?
Listen.
I don't know. I'll read my sources after. And then clothes from boys who died before baptism in a robber's skull. From the brew they got from a robber's skull, they made love potions and potions that made people kill and afflict Christians. So obviously, no, that's true. 5, that Alice had a demon as an incubus whom she slept with and who appeared to her as a cat, sometimes a shaggy black dog, or as a black man from whom she got her wealth. Racism.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. 6, that Alice killed some of her husbands through sorcery and infatuated others through the same witchcraft to surrender all of their wealth to her and her son, and therefore impoverishing their stepchildren. 7, that she poisoned her latest husband. I mean, maybe platinum pussy is sorcery, but she got all these men and her son got the dowries. Like, okay.
That was like a full on like operation, you know, like she had to do what she had to do, like survive.
Yeah. So what followed were legal and political battles where Bishop Ledred tried but was unsuccessful in getting the authorities to arrest Alice, her son, and some of her servants and friends. The bishop was later arrested and jailed in Kilkenny, and after his release, he still demanded that Alice appeared before him. Alice was wise. She refused and fled to England. She went back to Dublin after a year and insisted that the archbishop condemns the Bishop of Ossory for her unlawful excommunication. This ended with the bishop going back to Kilkenny, from where he demanded Alice's arrest. So Alice was held in Kilkenny Castle's dungeons. In those times, being found guilty of witchcraft was a serious offense, carrying a death sentence. Alice and her friends were found guilty and condemned for whipping along the streets, tied at a horse's back, after which Alice would be burned at the stake. So, yeah, it was in Europe where they burned witches at the stake. In the U.S., they, like, hung and drowned them. There was, like, no burnings in the U.S.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I'm just thinking back at, like, the Salem witch trials. It was, like, hangings. You didn't hear much about that, because if you go back and look at the Crucible, it's all, like...
Crushing
and drowning. And those medieval cage things, yeah. They'd leave people in.
Oh, yeah. They had that at Kilkenny Castle, too. So through the political powers of the Ireland Chancellor, Roger Outlaws, who was her former brother-in-law, Alice's escape was organized. Those guarding her cell were beaten senseless, resulting in her release from the dungeon and freedom from the death sentence that was awaiting her. Alice fled, never to be seen again. Her less wealthy associates were imprisoned in Kilkenny, and after personal interviews through the inquisitorial procedure by the bishop, they confessed to the acts. Meanwhile, officials from Dublin had arrived in Kilkenny, and the chancellor and treasurer were hosted in William Outlaw's house. The bishop now formally accused William of heresy and hosting heretics. William confessed and surrendered to the bishop. William was convicted, and Bishop Ledred ordered him to listen to 3 masses every day and give alms to the poor. He was also ordered to repair St. Canice's Cathedral's roof as punishment. Wow, all that, but she was going to be killed. William Outlaw's light punishment was highly contrasting the torture that the less wealthy friends of Alice, and including her maid Petronella, who went through torture, whipping, and was finally burned at the stake before a crowd outside the Thulsa. Yeah, so
people, there's like ghost tours in Kilkenny, and they start at the Kilkenny Castle, and people say like there's ghosts of Petronella, and there's all kinds of like folklore about Alice because she just disappeared. So really, the proceedings against Dame Alice Keitelor for sorcery from Camden Old Series are an article called The Sorcery Trial of Alice Keitelor. That's the story of Dame Alice Keitelor and the ghosts of Kilkenny.
Great job.
Thank
you. That was interesting.
Yeah. So do you want to tell the breaking news?
So Lisa Montgomery was given an execution date for December 8th of this year. So Lisa Montgomery will be the first,
70 years.
70 years.
So Lisa Montgomery, she was kind of local to us. She's like 6 hours away, but Skidmore. But yeah, I saw those crime scene photos and I'll never unsee them. So
yeah, Marielle even held the birth announcements that Lisa Montgomery had filled out for Victoria Jo Stinnett, the baby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And apparently who was it? Was it the arresting person that was there?
The prosecutor.
She said that when they arrested Lisa Montgomery, she even still had dried blood under her fingernails. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, I don't know, it's mixed emotions for me. I personally don't support the death penalty. Yeah. So I don't think it should happen, especially when a quarter of the people currently on death row in general are found innocent. So how is this justified?
At least this is a case with no reasonable doubt. So we can segue into Scott Peterson, who has a ton of reasonable doubt.
So his death sentence was, what's it called?
Overturned,
and he could possibly getting a new trial. That's another big news. So depending on how you feel about that, I believe that there's other ways they could have taken this, considering there was an armed robbery taking place across the street and the fact that another pregnant woman was killed nearby. So,
and they didn't interview like half the witnesses, and they had a completely biased jury, namely Strawberry Shortcake. I think her name's Raquel something. She's going down, honey. Wouldn't it be ironic if the woman who was so, she was like salivating on that jury to get him convicted.
It's like she had a Nancy Grace bug in her ear.
And well, she had a bias because who was it? Like her,
I can't remember.
Someone she was related to, a niece or someone in her family had been
murdered.
So she couldn't be impartial. She lied in her.
Like in one of the questions you're asked, you're asked questions. Do you believe in the death penalty? Do you know anyone who's been murdered or a victim of a similar crime? And that supposedly weeds out, but not if you blatantly lie about it.
So yeah, that's death penalty news.
I have some other news. We're going to take this back.
So Eric Menendez is going back to court.
What?
Yeah. So he has supposedly been receiving packages of weed in the mail. Another drug. So they're taking him to court.
I mean, I think they need to get a retrial anyway.
Yeah. I watched the documentary series and
their dad was a fucking sadist.
Yeah. Awful person. I think mom was just there, like, involved by proxy. Yeah. But, I mean, they did go charge up the credit card and... honestly, that was freedom. They had freedom.
Yeah. None of us could imagine what that could have been like.
Absolutely not. Like, fucking terrible. So, also, I watched the Paris Hilton documentary.
I haven't.
Newfound respect for her. The simple life was an act. She knows what Walmart is. She knew all along. This isn't a spoiler, but... It's interesting when some of her peers that went to that same abusive school she did, when they saw The Simple Life and Paris said she's never mopped a floor or anything, they immediately laughed because they knew that was a lie because that was often punishment.
Oh my God.
That they had to upkeep the facility. Yeah. So they knew she's had that type of hard labor before.
So you can watch it on YouTube. You have to have an account, though.
No. So you can watch it for free on YouTube. But if you want the extended scene, which is like an extra 15 minutes, you can do it on the subscription. But
ooh, I can do it on my new TV.
Is that working?
My internet's working now. Thanks to the fucker at Geek Squad. I ordered a new TV. The Geek Squad came to mount it. The Geek Squad dude was like, oh, it looks like your routers are confused because I have AT&T cable but Google Fiber internet. And this guy was like, I think you actually don't even have Google Fiber. It looks like you just have like this enhancement thing. Let me see if I can get it to speed up for you. This man completely deactivated my Wi-Fi. I had Google Fiber out there today. And I was telling him what he said. And he was like, yeah, that's a fiber line right there. I'm like, this fucking idiot. And it's like, he definitely was like being flirtatious, but like enough to keep it professional. But still, this was definitely like him trying to find an in. And then as soon as he fucked up, now he's like nowhere to be seen. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, he was trying to come back.
If he was white, I would have that fucking job. But, you know, I can't fuck with him. Only colonizers can lose their jobs. And
speaking of colonizers, you watched American Murder. Is it American Murder?
American Murder, Family Next Door.
Dude. Shook me to the core. Like, spoiler alert, but when that neighbor called it, that just still blows my mind to this day.
The documentary is really cinematic. If you haven't seen it, it's amazing because all you're seeing is raw footage from security cameras, police body cameras, interrogation tapes, and Facebook. Because, and text messages. Because Shanann was sort of, like, she was in a lot of MLMs. And she was hustling on Facebook. And so she kind of was like a YouTuber. Like, she had her whole like Facebook diary, recorded everything. So it's like watching a movie, except for you know what's happening. So every time he lies and every time he says something, every time he just does something, you know. And it's just, oh, he's a monster. Fucking monster.
You're okay with the world
knowing. Killed your wife, daughters.
I just want to say solidarity to the KC tenants and the Kansas City occupation that's currently happening at the police department headquarters downtown. The objective is to fire Rick Smith and to defund the police of Kansas City by 50%. And hopefully those funds will go back into the community. Also today, Rediscover, which is a Lee Summit-based nonprofit organization, they are partnering with Lee Summit PD to start a program of where they'll have a social worker go with them on calls. So, supporting all that.
Boom shakalaka. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in, listening to our episode. We're a year in and technology still hates us. It's just bullshit that Apple decided that we're just not going to have USB ports anymore. And so I had to buy a USB-C adapter, and I've used it 3 times, and now it's broken. So,
right. And we're doing all of this ourselves. Well, Mariel's doing the producing, and I just basically show up and be present and sometimes buy equipment. So it's thanks for being patient. Also, COVID sucks. It's made motivation real hard, but we're still going. We hope you are too. Thanks for sticking around.
The way you can help us is by leaving a review, rating, tell your friends, get on your friend's phone, download our episodes, tell everybody they should subscribe. Just steal everybody's phone and subscribe.
Yeah, and to the reviews that say our voices are boring, just turn it off. It's that boring. Why are you listening? Like, although their voices are boring, the content is good, is what one person said. So thank you for taking the time to leave that. Appreciate your effort. We don't care.
When did we say we're experts?
All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll chat with you later. Thank you.
Bye.